we have lots of words that you guys obviously know what the word amazing means, but what is grace? Something that they don't deserve. That's interesting. Does anybody agree? Is that a good definition? What do you think? Could be a second chance. Yeah. And that would fit in with Alan's definition of something you don't deserve sometimes, right, Sam? Unmerited favor. That would be probably the most technical definition someone could have come up with. Leave it to Samuel. It's something, I didn't even plant him for that. That was his idea. But maybe I could do it this way. What am I holding right here? $50. I'm going to make a calculated risk and give it to somebody where I know where they sleep. So I'm going to give it to Jesse. All right. Well, let Jesse have it. Now, Jesse, imagine that Jesse takes that $50 and says, I have an idea. I'm going to go and use that money to buy some lemonade and some lemonade mix and some cups, and I'm going to set up a little table, and I'm going to go see if I can make some money, and then I'm going to make some money because I'm going to sell it for more than I bought it for, and then I'm going to give Dad back his $50. So, Jesse, can you give me back the $50? That's hard, isn't it, right? And I suddenly go, yay, I just got $50. This must be amazing grace. Is this amazing grace because I just got $50? You don't think this is grace? Well, I just got $50. Jesse's so good to me. How come it's not amazing grace? I gave it to him. So in a way, when he gives it back to me, he's just paying off a debt, right? So let's say now, if I really try hard in my life and I'm a super good person, and then I say, God has amazing grace, so because I was such a good person, he's going to let me go to heaven. Is that amazing grace? If I deserve to go, is he giving me grace? No. What would be amazing about God's grace when it comes to heaven? Who gets to go to heaven? The people who don't deserve to go to heaven are the ones that go. And that's what makes it grace. Now, let's suppose that Jesse was not so good of a boy, and this time he goes off and he breaks somebody's window, and that person comes and says, Jesse, if you don't fix that window, I'm going to put you in jail. Kid jail. It exists. Kid jail. And then I come along and I say, you know what? Here's my $50. I didn't break the window, but I'm going to pay for the window so that Jesse can be set free. Would that be amazing grace? Why? Because Jesse didn't deserve to be rescued. And for each of us, that's how it is for us. Because of the things we've done, we deserve to be punished by God. But does God want to punish us? No, he says, I take no joy in punishing people. God will punish people, but he doesn't like it. And so he offers us amazing grace. And we're going to talk all about the song Amazing Grace today in church while you guys go off to Sunday school. William Wilberforce. Who has heard of William Wilberforce? A few of you? If you haven't, you should watch the movie Amazing Grace, and then you'll know all about him. The movie called Amazing Grace tells the story of William Wilberforce, a man who grew up in a world that never knew a time when the world wasn't full of slaves. And as a Christian, he kept reading his Bible, and he goes, he can't figure out how the entire Christian world seemed to be okay with slavery. And right by William Wilberforce's side was another man, a former slave trader by the name of John Newton, who eventually accepted Jesus as his Lord and wrote the song Amazing Grace. I don't know if there's a Christian song more widely known in the world than Amazing Grace. Both musically and lyrically, it is somehow, it just makes our hearts sing, especially something about the bagpipes. I think it just brings it up a notch for me. Whether you are a person who personally believes in God or believes in Jesus, something about the words of Amazing Grace will even strike a chord with you. Maybe say if you're singing it at a funeral. It's a very common song at funerals. But for me, the song strikes an even louder chord because I've learned the story behind it. So Amazing Grace was written by John Newton, as I said. And I want to tell you a little bit about John Newton. He started as a little boy, like all of us men tend to do. And we'll say little Johnny had a pretty rough beginning. He was the son of a praying and loving mother and a cold-hearted shipmaster businessman for a father. Perhaps the amazing grace of his mother would have saved him from many dangers, toils, and snares if she hadn't died of tuberculosis when he was only 7. After that, he went and lived with his father's new wife, and when he was 11 and too tough for her to handle, he was put on the ships to sail with his father. His dad was going to get him a job picking sugarcane on one of the British colonies, but John opted to stay on the big ships, and he signed on as a sailor on a trade ship that went back and forth to the Mediterranean Sea. We're going to learn in a few minutes what they were headed there for. Well, in order for the British Navy to maintain its control of the entire world, they had this practice of raiding their own trade ships and forcing the experienced sailors to join the Navy. John was one such sailor. When he tried to escape the Navy at age 20, he was stripped to the waist and flogged 96 times in front of his crew of 350 men. And this event hardened an already very hard, broken little boy, who was now trying to choose between murdering his captain or killing himself. He managed to hold off on either of those things for another couple years till he could transfer to a slave trading ship 3 years later. He had become tough, angry, and unlikable to the point that his new crew couldn't stand him, and they deliberately sailed off without him, leaving him in Africa for 2 years. He became a slave in Africa, serving a colonial princess who treated him just as badly as the Navy did. He began to lose his sense of humanity to where his conscience about brutally treating other people was kind of business as usual for him. And one of his father's ships found him 2 years later and brought him back to England. He was more cold-hearted even than his father. But something happened while on that voyage home. After almost sinking with the ship during a storm, he started to look for some answers, and he found a Bible on board. And as many sailors know, you have some time to kill when the winds are just right, and John Newton managed to read and study a great deal of the Bible. By the time they had gotten home, he was thoroughly convinced of the Christian worldview. I say Christian worldview because both John Newton and myself, in my own life, we've discovered that there is a big difference between believing that Jesus is Lord and Savior of the world and actually letting him be our Lord and Savior. And John Newton records in his own autobiography that truly surrendering his life to the working of the Holy Spirit is something that came some years later. So John Newton became far more civilized than most of his fellow sailors, having given up drinking and gambling and swearing and carousing. Now he was an upstanding human trafficker. On one of his many trips to trade beeswax and weapons for Africa,